But right now, I want to start this hour by talking some Colorado basketball. We're joined by the head coach of Colorado. He is in his 10th season with the Buffaloes, six 20-win seasons. Colorado is 15-4. They're 4-2 in Pac-12 play. They are number 23 in the AP poll. And they are hosting Washington tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tad Boyle is my guest. Tad, it's great to have you on. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. Good to be with you.
It's good to have you, Tad. Thanks so much. You dropped a game against Arizona on Saturday, but then you bounced right back and you beat Washington State, Tad, 78-56 last night. I want to get into a couple of details about that game in a second, but overall, how pleased were you with the way your guys bounced back and the way they showed up last night?
Very much so. I mean, we've got a tough group, and we've responded pretty much every game this year after a loss, and they take ownership. They don't point fingers. They look at themselves in the mirror, you know. And Arizona kicked our tails in the backboard. We haven't been beaten like that, you know, in quite some time. And our guys responded. I think we were plus 17 last night on the Cougars. So we got our edge back a little bit.
It's had not only were you plus 17 last night, but you were plus 17 without Tyler Bay, who is your leading rebounder, and you were plus 17. If we go back to the start of the season, you were really excited about the depth of this team. So what do you make about the way everybody stepped up and hit the glass in his absence?
Yeah, to have a guy like Lucas Seiwert, you know, 6'10", guy that stretches the defense, and to get 16-10, he's normally coming off the bench, but he moves into the starter's role with Tyler being out. And then we've got Dallas Walton, a 7-footer, who's coming off an ACL, who hasn't played a lot of minutes, and he gets the kind of the backup minutes, and he plays well. So that's the depth that we were talking about before the season started, and you got to be able to withstand, you know, injuries or sickness or whatever you run into through the course of a college basketball season.
Tad Boyle joining us. Now, they responded in the second half as well. You held Washington State to only 23 points in the second half, 37% shooting for the game, and tied their season low for scoring, defense, and rebounding. I mean, these aren't things that guys always want to do, but as head coach, how much fun is it to coach a group that's going to put in that work that embraces some of the dirty details that guys don't want to do?
That's the whole key, and that's what makes this team special, Jim, in my opinion. Now, you know, we don't know how the season is going to play out, but, you know, up until this point, our guys really take pride in the defensive end of the floor and getting stops. It starts with our point guard, McKinley Wright, who's one of the most underrated, I think, players and defenders in college basketball. But, you know, Evan Batty down low is he's not afraid of anybody, and he's a big wide body guy who loves physicality. So when you have two guys like that and the rest of the guys kind of fall in line, you got a special team.
Tad Boyle joining us. I want to ask you about both those guys, actually. McKinley Wright, the fourth, had 10 points. He had 10 assists. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 blocks. For those who are not familiar with him or his game, as they should be, what is it about him that makes him so special as a player that excites you?
His toughness, Jim, and just his will to win. He's got, you know, you hear people talk about it all the time. He's got the it factor, and I don't know how you define it, but McKinley Wright's got it. And the thing I love about him is he'll do a lot of different things to help you win a game. It might be an offensive rebound as a 6-foot point guard. It might be guarding the other team's best perimeter player. It might be getting a big defensive rebound or taking a charge. He's in great distributorship mode. He broke the school record last night for double-digit assist games. That's his 7th in his career. And he's, you know, Jay Humphries is a guy whose record he broke, who was a pretty special player here back in the day. So McKinley can just help you win in so many different ways.
Colorado head coach Tad Boyle is my guest. Now, when you talk about special players back in the day, the story goes that back when Wright was a freshman, you called Chauncey Billups, and you told him that Wright was his kind of guy. That was the start of a relationship where Wright and Billups have worked out together. What did you see in Wright that made you say that, and what's it mean to have an alum like Chauncey who's willing to work with a young player?
Well, look, McKinley is special. We knew that about a week on campus. I mean, it doesn't take you very long as a coach to get those things figured out. And the way you figure it out usually in the summertime is when your players or your former players, you know, talk to you. And once you got McKinley in workouts and practice, You know, he's a guy that, you know, when I did talk to Chauncey, hey, you're going to like this kid. Chauncey takes a keen interest in our program, obviously being an alum. And his, you know, his brother Rodney was on our staff for 6 years. He's now at the University of Denver. So, you know, he puts a lot of attention into that program now as well, because blood is thicker than water. But Chauncey, he's his kind of player, and he's a guy that, you know, Chauncey, for many players, you know, throughout, you know, Colorado basketball, when they come through here, he likes to keep an eye on them and build relationships with them, and he and McKinley have done that.
Man, that's gold. That's invaluable. Tad Boyle joining us. Tad, you mentioned Evan Batty. He had 12 points and 10 rebounds last night. Now, we're talking about somebody who was back home here in California 2 years ago playing pickup ball with his friends when he had a stroke. What do you remember feeling and thinking when you first received that news?
Disbelief. Jim, you don't think of guys who, and Evan had come here, you know, he's a big-bodied kid, I'd mentioned that. Anybody knows him or is familiar with his game knows how he's a thick kid. He's, you know, he came here almost 300 pounds, and he redshirted his freshman year, did an unbelievable job with Steve Englehart, our strength coach, in trimming down. He had lost about 35 pounds, so he was in the best shape of his life, literally, and he goes home for Christmas during his, you know, those red shirt guys, it's a tough year on them, so when they go home for Christmas, I usually give them an extra 3 or 4 days to spend with their family, and Evan's a big family guy, and when I got the call that said he had a stroke, I said, no, that can't be right. I was almost in denial, you know, for maybe a week until, you know, the poor kid went through more tests than you know what to do with. I mean, I can't tell you how many tests he went through, and there's no rhyme or reason for it. And what I found out, Jim, through this process was about 1 in 3 youth stroke victims, there's no they can't pinpoint a reason, and Evan was one of those.
Yeah, that's got to be so scary, right? Because you want a reason. You want to know how it happened to make sure it doesn't happen, and then you don't know. But then, Tad, 2 weeks after the stroke, you guys were playing USC. Evan attends the morning practice. He starts to shoot around. He's hitting threes. What did you think when you saw that?
I was just like, how did he have a stroke? You know, but his speech, he was really having trouble speaking, but he could step out on the basketball court and pick up a ball and whap a three. And so it's kind of incomprehensible in some ways, but I learned a lot. Evan's learned a lot. You know, our program has learned a lot about strokes and how to come back from them. But the intestinal fortitude that kid has shown, the toughness, and I sat down with he and his mom and said, hey, listen, if you don't ever want to play basketball again, I totally get it. You know, this is bigger than the game of basketball, but he's such a competitive kid, and basketball's such a big part of his life that he wanted to, you know, make a comeback, and he did, and that's what makes this story so special.
So let me say, I mean, I know you touched on this, but, like, what's it mean then? Like you said, if you don't want to do this, I get it, but he did want to do it, so what's it mean to you to see him out there making, not only out there, but making a major contribution to this team?
It just warms your heart because you to know Evan Batty and to know the kind of kid he is. I should say kid, young man. He's not a kid anymore, but he's so infectious with his personality and his energy. He's our emotional leader. He's the guy. I mean, we blow the whistle to start practice or to end practice, and he's literally skipping to the center jump circle. You know, he's happy to be there every day, and he has that perspective, Jim, that I don't have. I haven't suffered a stroke, and other players don't have it, but he's got that perspective, and that's nice to see on a day-to-day basis.
And it's infectious. Tad Boyle joining us. A couple of quick things, Tad. You're the chairman of the NCAA Basketball Rules Committee. It would seem like a rather thankless job, but you wanted to take that on. How come?
Well, I was nominated, you know, by the Pac-12 conference, which I appreciated. It's not something I was really looking to do, but they asked me to do it, and I was honored to do that. And then you know, the former chairman had lost his job. Mark Fox was the former chairman, and he lost his job at Georgia. So I kind of got forced into that role. I was kind of a new guy on the block, and so they said, "You want to be chairman?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." And we got a lot of help. Art Highland is unbelievable as a secretary, you know, editor. He helps a great deal. Dan Calandro at the NCAA office have been very, very instrumental in helping me kind of adjust to that role. But it's fun to, you know, dig into the rules. It's amazing as a coach I had coached for, 23 years before this this assignment, and it's amazing how many rules I didn't know. It's scary, and it makes me have more appreciation for officials and all the things that are on their plate on a nightly basis that I didn't really realize before I got on that committee.
Really interesting. Now, Ted, I know you love this group, and I also know there's a lot of basketball still to be played, but you've beaten some really good teams this year. You got number 13, Dayton. You got number 4, Oregon, earlier this month. What's it tell you about how good the potential for this particular group?
This team can rise to the occasion. There's no doubt about that. Now, the problem we've faced is sometimes we're not ready to play every single night, and we always don't have the attention to detail that you need to have to be an elite level team. We're working on that, and we're getting better in that area. But we don't really have any bad losses. I mean, Oregon State's a quality team. They beat us at home. Northern Iowa's a really good team in the Missouri Valley. They beat us at home. We lost to a really good Kansas team, and so I know this team can rise to the level. It's can we be a consistent, performer, and that's where like a game tomorrow against Washington at home, is a real test for us.
That's big. Last thought. You've been so great with your time. I don't want to get greedy, but you did play for one of my favorite guys ever in Larry Brown at Kansas. Yeah. What was it like to play for Coach Brown?
It was an awesome experience. And I can say that, 20-some years later. The one thing I really appreciated about Coach Brown is he made his players and demanded that his players play the right way. And he was a great teacher of the game. And what I really appreciated about him, and I was not his best player, okay, Danny Manning was his best player, but the thing that makes Coach Brown, in my mind, so special is he always coaches his best player the hardest. And a lot of coaches, especially at the NBA level, and even sometimes at the college level, Jim, they don't want to, ruffle the feathers of their best player. They don't want to challenge their best player. Coach Brown, he didn't care if you were the best player or the 13th guy on the team. He was going to demand, you play the right way and you do things the right way. And sometimes that he butted heads. But, it's funny, you mentioned Chauncey earlier. When I, had lunch with Chauncey when I got this job 10 years ago, and we were kind of shooting the breeze, and I said, Chauncey, who was the best player you ever, or best coach you ever played for? And, the question was barely out of my mouth, and he said, Larry Brown. Huh. And I think if you ask Allen Iverson, he'd probably answer the same thing, or Danny Manning, or certainly Tad Boyle.
It seems kind of counterintuitive, right? Because I get that. I absolutely understand that. But part of me also thinks that if you're a head coach and you want any kind of stability, you better get along with your best player, so therefore you better not push him too hard.
And that's my point. That's exactly my point, is he wasn't afraid of that. He wasn't afraid of pushing it because he was a principled guy and he knew basketball is supposed to be played this way. You're supposed to give great effort. You're supposed to play both ends of the floor, not just one end of the floor. You're supposed to pass it when you're double teamed. Play the game the right way. And Coach Brown knew that and he knew how to teach it. And he knew how to demand it from every player on his team. Another thing I learned from you treat everybody fairly, but you don't treat them the same. And that's another, counterintuitive thing. Sometimes think, I treat everybody the same way. No, you don't have to treat everybody the same way. You got to treat people differently based on their personalities. And so Coach Brown was so good at those little things. There's a lot of guys that know the game. There's a lot of guys that know how to teach the game, but he was the whole package.
Ted, finally, I'm trying to let you go. I've kept you way longer than I normally do, but I really am. This is such an interesting conversation. When you got to Colorado, I knew that you saw potential there, and it's a really interesting program that's had some great, great players come through. If I had said to you the day you walked into that facility that you would still be there 10 years later, was that the plan?
Absolutely, and I'd like to be here another 10 years, God willing.
Tad Boyle.
I love this place.
Yeah, it's a great place. 6-20 win seasons in those 10 years. They're number 23 in the AP poll, and they've got a big one at Colorado tomorrow night. They're hosting Washington. Tad, really nice to have you on the show, and I do appreciate that conversation. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, Jim. Always good to be with you.
That was great. Really enjoyed that, Tad. Thanks. Let's do it again. Tad Boyle, University of Colorado head basketball coach. Man, I love somebody who is in the process and that interested makes him that interesting. That's a great conversation.